Live from Studio A, high atop the Sunset Strip, you're on the air with the Motivational Comedy Network. Hi, I'm Jay Taylor.
Hi, and I'm Cash Landy. How are you doing, Jay?
I'm doing terrific.
What
doing
a day, terrific. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Tell me what's going on today.
Oh, man, we had a wonderful day. We were out there selling sponsorships for the show.
Yes, we were. Yes, we were.
Oh, man, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun today.
Got to talk to you about one guy we ran across, though.
Yeah, who was that?
That guy, Star Ford.
Oh, man, Jeff.
He was, you know, not just the sales manager.
Not just
the general sales manager.
That's right.
I mean, he made it quite clear he is the general.
That's
right. He's in charge. Why walk around in a patent uniform, I believe, with a swagger stick under his hand? He was like cracking the troops.
It was funny. He didn't have an office either.
The world was his oyster. It was like he was in total control.
But did you see that white Cobra Shelby Mustang?
Yeah.
I wanted that so
I know.
Bad.
Cash asked him for it. What did he tell you?
He told me, I'm paying him right now.
Okay, so pick it up after the show. Thanks a lot very much for that, Jeff. We appreciate that. We got a lot of stuff. We got a guest today on the program. First of all, I think we ought to talk to our screener.
That's right. Hi, Ava.
Hi.
Ava, the beautiful.
We missed you last night.
I know.
We had a very fine screener, though.
Yes.
That's right.
I heard.
I hear you're up for a role in a movie, a major motion picture.
Yes, I
Ooh.
Am.
Oh, do tell.
But, you know, I do think that these people should call and talk to me because I can't tell you how much I like talking to everyone on the phone. So, you guys make sure who are listening to call 1-888-4-CALLER and talk to moi, mm-hmm. Ava.
That's right.
And we'll have a good time on the phone tonight.
And just remember, you have to go through her to get to us.
And that is no bad deal.
Oh, yeah.
What a daunting.
Oh, yeah.
What a daunting.
And believe me, normally you have to go through me to get to her. I'm like,
That's exactly right. So you're going to go on the phones, and you're going to be taking the Ask Mr. Comedy phone calls.
Absolutely.
Get a little bit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also...
faxes and the email that we get in here.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk about quickly our guest this evening. Cash, where's our guest?
Our guest? He's calling in.
Oh. You know, I thought he was supposed to be here, and I was so afraid that he wasn't going to be. Oh, man. He's calling in.
Surprise.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
No guest.
I was sweating that one. Are
he
you
He actually
serious?
Isn't
okay.
coming in.
All right. Okay.
I have no guest for tonight. This
all
is
right.
Tough.
Okay. So
now, we have a great guest tonight, and he's a funny guy. Really funny.
Yeah, let me tell you, he's an internationally acclaimed expert on humor and communication.
Of course, I've just given him the kiss of death by saying
how
funny he is.
He has trained thousands of managers, executives, and professionals how to gain a competitive edge with humor. Kind of ties in with what we're doing.
That's exactly why he's here.
That's exactly right. So we'll have him on the show later. It'll be a really interesting show with him on the air. So,
oh, without a doubt.
On the phone or wherever he is.
And plus, we have some tickets to give away tonight.
We've got tickets to the Ice House. We're giving them away in groups of six, so it's like you can take you and your five best buddies to see some fine comedy at the Premier Comedy Club in Pasadena.
That's right. It's the Ice House at 24 North Mentor Avenue, Pasadena, California. And the phone number there is 818-577-1894. That's a great place to see a show. I perform there pretty regularly. And I'm going to be there in a couple of months.
Yeah. Well, let's give out the comedy hotline number, too, because that will keep people posted where you are and some of the other things going on in comedy.
That's correct.
Which is 310-572-6373.
That's 310-572-6373.
But
hey, for you people who don't have a phone and are on the internet because you've lost everything you've got because you're spending so much time wrapped up on the net, you can reach me at MRComedy@AOL. That's Mr. Comedy, MRComedy@AOL.com. And, of course, if you know the homepage number, that's http://. I feel like I'm talking code, you know?
You are.
But it's members.AOL.com/MRComedy. Once again, hey, and it's a fun place to be. I've got pictures of celebrities. I've got pictures of me in the bathtub. I've got
well, gee, Cash
is a Jay.
We're out of time. We've got time to go now.
To
like
go.
We spend the whole time giving away our email addresses and phone numbers and all that kind of information.
Oh man!
But we are going to have our segment of the show, Ask Mr. Comedy, and we are going to give away tickets to the Ice House for you to call and give us your motivational challenges. This is a show about the motivationally challenged.
That's correct. And remember, for you motivationally challenged people, the number once again. Again, is 888-422-5537. That's 888-422-5537. It's toll-free. It's free. Oh, free. What else could you get free? Free.
Not a
You're
lot.
Listening
Not
to
a
the
lot.
Radio. You got that free, too? This is a phone call free for you.
Kasher, I'm excited about our show. I have to go over some of the things. Like, this is a learning process for me, probably for more so than anybody else in the city. And what I learned last night, we had a very great guest last night, Greg Dean, stand-up comedy
phenomenal.
Teacher.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal.
And I learned this is some of the things that I learned from you as well as him, that when you start absorbing motivation, even when you're depressed, you're still motivated.
That's right.
You still are. And I thought, that's true, because, you know, I've been in the downs the last, you know, couple of months, and it's like all of a sudden, it's like everything is fine.
That's right.
I feel 100% better.
Your life
2,000% better.
Your life is better.
Yeah.
Everything about you is better. Even that Hawaiian shirt you're wearing is better.
Is that cool?
I love it.
A little nerdy, isn't it?
Well, it's a little bright.
Yeah, it's a little bright.
I could see it even in the dark.
Yeah, I could.
But then again, you can cross it, you know, in the middle of the street, and you don't have to worry about being hit by a car.
I am seen. We also learned about comedy and modeling.
But you're not obscene. That's good.
I try not to be.
Use a pun, go to jail. Somebody come here and arrest me.
Using your personal power, being flexible, and using modeling. That's what Greg did in his, it's like I'm seeing an underlying thread here, too, that something that I learned last night, too, that it has to do with procrastination.
Yes, that's
the last two speakers have talked about procrastination. We had the first speaker, who was?
Dr. Bruce Goldberg.
Who said?
I remember.
Who said?
Because I took the Harry Lorraine memory course.
Who did, and
we're
going to
have
well.
We're going to have a program later on in the series where we're going to deal with memory, because memory is important.
Yeah, well, he exactly. I forgot what it was I was going to say. But, you know, he said in regard to that you know that if you procrastinate, you can never be successful.
That's
and then
right.
Last night, Greg Dean said that you have to be successful, you have to procrastinate, because you have to procrastinate procrastination.
That's right.
I think he was trying to be funny. It kind of makes a little double talk.
He was funny. The problem is with being funny is you can't try and be funny. You're either funny or you're not.
Yeah.
And, hey, that's why I'm so funny. I don't have to try.
Cash, I want to talk about your motivational comedy experience, except I grabbed the wrong page.
Okay.
I've got your whole biography here, and it's like, I don't think they wanted me to read the whole biography.
Well, actually, it's interesting that you should pick up the biography by accident, because tonight's show is going for your dreams. That's what it's all about. You know, last night we started with Greg Dean, and tonight we're going to really get into it deep with Malcolm, because Malcolm's going to be talking about going for your dreams. Malcolm, at one point, was a lawyer and all of these other things. I don't remember exactly, Jay. I know you did more of the research on Malcolm.
Oh, I did a lot of research.
It's a little too early to really get into too deep on what he is. But
exactly.
But basically, we're going to be talking about our dreams tonight, and that's what life's all about. You know, like Henry David Thoreau said, to live life deliberately and not come to the end of my years without ever having really lived. That's what it's all about, you know? And Hamlet said it, you know? All of a sudden, I'm becoming like Mr. Quoting.
My gosh, Shakespeare.
Unbelievable.
This is a show of class.
This is a show of class. Hey, you know what I mean. I'm going to talk about Shakespeare for you. You know, so Hamlet, when Polonius says, and in this all above to thine own self be true, it must follow as the night to day, doubts cannot befall to any man. See?
I don't think I've ever heard it put quite that way.
So you got to be true to yourself. And that's what it's really all about. And I'm going to talk about tonight how I came about being here and why you're doing it, man.
I know.
Hey.
Okay.
What could I say?
All right. But anyway, I think later, as soon as I get the right sheet, I will tell you all about the comedy experience that Cash does. Because what he does is he goes out and trains the troops. He goes out to your organization, your sales force, who is wanting, who is depressed, who is down because sales are not quite what they should be. And he comes in and motivates through comedy, which not a lot of people are doing, and we're doing it. So if you want to bring a little entertainment and motivation to your staff and bring out the best and brighten up the otherwise dull and boring old same sales meetings and presentations like we've all sat through thousands of times, why not give Cash Landy a call and laugh while being productive? I'll give you the number. It's 310-391-1365.
I played football at Temple University, and I was the first, second, third string fullback. The fact is, they knocked out all the other fullbacks and everything. But coaches have different methods of getting a team up. When I say getting a team up, I mean to make the players angry enough so they go out and really want to smash together. And one method that a coach used was that this guy would put a record on in the locker room, see, and the guy would play the record, and the music would come, pan, pan, da, da, pan, da, dun, 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 dun. You know, the guys would, the glands would secrete, and the end get strong and rip her off the locker and rip and tear the legs running around. And our coach went out and he bought the wrong record. He bought Exodus. And we went out and everybody went home. But the real method, though, is that a coach will talk to a team. This is called getting them up. And our coach talked to us, I'll never forget this game. He said, fellas, he said, you know, we're out here to win, and we really want to win, because we want to win. You guys want to win? Yeah, coach. He said, all right, then start acting like it. Let me hear you say, kill, kill. Let me hear you say, fight, fight. Let me hear you say you want to win. We want to win. Are you guys ready? Yeah, coach, we're ready. We're running around, tearing up the line, ripping up paper, and busting the pigeons. We're ready. Good. Okay, are you guys ready? Say, fight. Fight, everybody. Okay, go out there and get them. And the door was locked.
We want to win. We want to fight. We want to get out there and get some sales. I can see Jeff Hall at Star 4 doing that, can't you? Like cracking people over the head with that baton he carries around the halls. That's ridiculous. Okay, enough of that. Enough of that. We've got, let's talk about what we just heard.
Well, okay, first let's give out the number for the callers because it's 1-888-4-C-A-L-L-E-R or
888-422-5537.
Let's do that one more time. I just love the way we did it, right? This time you take the first three numbers.
So natural, too.
Yeah, take the first three numbers.
Okay. Our number is 888.
Take another three.
422.
I'll take it. 5537. Okay. There we go.
Now, here's what we're going to bribe you, people, because we want to prime the well, because we need people on the phone to ask Mr. Comedy. Now, this is a city. This is the city of 8 million people. Or is that New York?
Well, it could be 14
it could be,
million
could
here.
Could be 14 million. No,
and we just made it grow.
It's growing every
people
day.
People are out there
anyway,
right now doing it.
Anyway. There are people out there with motivational challenges. We want to hear from you because Mr. Comedy here has the answer. He has the answer. So get out of your doldrums and get on the phone. That's going to be the biggest thing that you have to overcome. And what I'll do for you, what we will do for you, is give you tickets to the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. You get six in for the price of zero.
Six for free.
So,
hey, isn't that a great Charo?
No, talk about Charo.
I love her.
You do?
I love her. She's great, yeah. Definitely. I did a bunch of shows with her.
A little old. Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, she's great.
Oh, she's a fantastic comedian.
Oh,
fantastic artist.
But she's not a comedian, but she thinks she is. But she's
got, I think she is.
She's got the... And those of you who know what she looks like,
certainly
she's got the...
Has motivation.
Yes, she's motivated. Okay. And that's what we just heard. We heard Bill Cosby talking about motivation. And that's what this show is all about, man. Motivation. And we're here to take a subject that is normally dull and boring. Now we're going to bring it into the Motivational Comedy Network.
So, Cash, how are you tonight?
I'm sensational, Jay, but it'll get better.
Well, I'm glad to see that things are on the way up.
Oh, man, I'm really excited. You know why, Jay? Because I'm living my dreams, and that's where it's all about. You know, I haven't always been a poorly paid actor-comedian. One time I was like, really, really the king of sales.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I remember my very first experience when I realized what it was I wanted to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was 4 years old, and I was in the Catskill Mountains. 4 years old, just a little kid, right?
Yeah.
And my parents had taken me because they couldn't get a babysitter or whatever. There I am in the showroom, and a famous comedian by the name of Jan Murray.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of him.
Yeah, well, you know.
Mr. Television.
That's right.
Was that Mr. No, Milton Berle's Mr. Television.
No, or that's Uncle Milty.
Well, what is Jan's got a title? What's his title?
What's the difference?
Okay.
It don't matter.
I'm trying to give credit for it.
Jan Murray is here, call in. You know, if he wants to get his title in, have him call. The thing was, though, is that, so now he notices me in the audience, and he said, oh, a four-year-old child. Hey, why don't you come on up here, and what's your name, son? And he holds out the mic, Jay, and I grab the mic, and I started running around the room, just talking, hearing my voice amplified, mm-hmm. going, blah, 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 and I loved it, and for 4 minutes, they couldn't catch me, right? Anyway, today I still have the same act, blah, 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 but they can catch me and get me out. But anyway, but my parents didn't think I should be a comedian. They thought it was wrong. They thought I should go into the wholesale meat business. That's what every four-year-old child should do.
I wanted to be, you know what, somewhere I picked up when I was a kid, I wanted to be a nuclear scientist. And I got on Kitterick's show in Houston, she was like a cartoon cat, and she said, what do you want to be? And here I'm saying, I want to be a nuclear scientist. You know, it's like, she said, what the heck?
It's like, Paula Poundstone.
Blow this guy out of here. Let's find somebody who really wants to be something real, like a cowboy.
Yeah. Paula Poundstone says in her act, she says, you know why adults always ask kids what they want to be when they grow up?
Mm.
Because they're looking for ideas.
Yes, yes. Yes.
So anyway, my life I wanted to be a comedian, but it wasn't until recently when I produced a show, and I produced a really heavy-duty show
mm-hmm.
With Jerry Seinfeld, Paul Reiser, Tim Allen, Richard Lewis, Bill Maher, Larry Miller, all heavyweight comedians. Rita Rudner, Paula Poundstone was on it, Carol Liefer, George Wallace. And, of course,
You mean the politician?
No, George Wallace, the famous comedian.
Oh, I thought you meant the guy that ran for president.
Oh, man, very funny guy. Okay. And they all said this very same thing, Jay. They said there were four things about life that they needed that they experienced.
Yeah.
The number one thing is that they had to believe in themselves. The most important thing is to believe in yourself, man. And that's something that I've always done.
Now, that's true.
That's right. I've always believed
in fact, I believe in you as much as you do.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's why I'm here.
And you know, and the next thing they said is that you have to have everybody in your life believe in with you. If they don't believe in what you're doing, then you got to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Well, for me, that was very difficult because I had to move away from my family.
That's a sad thing. That's a really sad thing.
All my life.
But isn't it the truth? Yeah. Isn't it the truth?
I tell you, all my life, people told me I'd never amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about my close friends and family.
Sounds like you need to get away from the family. What you did?
Even as a kid, man, we would play basketball, right? You know, and we would choose up game. I was always the last one to be chosen. But, you know, I never was worried, and you know
Did
why?
Did you say chose?
Yeah, chose.
Okay. A new word. We're inventing the language right here. Okay, go ahead. So,
you know why I was never worried?
No.
Because it was my ball.
That's why they had to use it.
I had control.
Yes.
Anyway, the third thing that they said is that you've got to do it every day. You've got to do something for yourself in your chosen profession, whatever it is, every day. And you know what the fourth thing was, Jay?
I'm still trying to remember the first three.
Take that memory course I told
you. Yeah.
Just hang in with
okay,
me.
Okay.
And the fourth thing they said is that you can't have a safety net. So there I was doing a $100,000 a year job as a salesman, but I was unhappy. So I quit it to become a poorly paid actor comedian. And now, Jay, I am happier than I've ever been in my entire life.
And you got no safety net.
That's right. And
you're happier than you've ever been.
That's right.
Okay.
It just
okay.
goes to show that as a salesman, I wasn't getting enough rejection.
Ah, that's something we can all use more of in our lives.
It seems that we got a caller.
We do have a caller, an actor. Oh my gosh. We got an actor.
Another actor.
We should have known an actor
would
need.
You can't swing a dead cat in this
motivation. We got an actor just moved from Seattle. Scared to meet people is a problem, Mr. Comedy. Kathy from Hollywood. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
Boy, she sounds depressed.
You sound very shy, Kathy.
I do.
Well,
you couldn't have picked a better radio station to call.
Yeah. Kathy, you sound so... How can we get you up here?
Well...
Not up here, but up here.
Well, how can we
how can
get,
we get
me up there?
How do we get you a little bit more excited?
All right, so Kathy,
tell us. I'm excited. I just I'm scared to go out by myself.
You know, Kathy...
I don't have any friends here.
Well, Kathy, first of all, now you've got two new friends. You've got Jay Taylor
Absolutely.
And Cash Landy.
Mm-hmm.
And with us two, you don't need anyone else, Kathy. So
I
tell us.
What?
Yes, Kathy.
Yes, well, I'm just, you know...
Kathy, you know what?
What?
Good question. I'm glad you asked. I happen to have an answer for you. You know, you've taken the first step. A lot of people are afraid to do anything. You, on the other hand, have said, hey, procrastination, you're out of here. I'm going to make that call. You've made the first call to heal your life. Now, Kathy, this is what I want you to do.
Okay.
I want you to come down to the studio right now. Our address is 8730 Sunset Boulevard. Come on down. You will never be lonely again.
Cash, wait a minute. Don't
hey.
Drag her down here.
Why not? What do you look like?
Yeah, what do you look like?
Well, I'm about
Wait, we can't hustle.
Eight.
Wait a minute, Cash. We can't hustle people
single.
On the air.
I'm single.
All right.
And I want a motivator.
Okay.
I can motivate her into meeting many, many new people.
She looks like Roseanne.
No, I don't.
Well, if you did, then I would tell you the address is not 8730. The address is Post Office Box.
Okay. Not that Roseanne's not a beautiful woman.
Oh, really?
Did I say that?
No,
I said that.
Believe me.
Okay.
Believe
but you
me
know
when
what?
I tell you. Yeah.
I think I'm going to come down there right now.
Oh, baby. All right.
I really
right.
want to meet you.
Just remember to ask for the guard. So what
ask
do you look me. Like?
Well, I'm about 5'8
That's
and
enough.
Blonde.
That's good enough.
Okay.
5'8 and a blonde. Well, that's all
I'm
we
coming
need.
Down right now.
All right.
Okay. By the way, when you do, ask for your tickets. You just won six free tickets to the Ice House that we're going to give to you when you come down.
I did?
Yes, you did.
That's right.
Well, who am I going to take?
Well,
can I take you guys?
The thing is when you come down here, we're going to set you up so that you're going to have more friends than you've ever had in your whole life.
We'll fill the six people for you.
All right.
I'm so glad
okay.
I called
all right,
you.
Kathy.
Yeah, me too. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Kathy. All right, on line two, we've got a guy named Malcolm who just says guest. I don't know what that's...
Oh, Malcolm
what?
Is our guest.
Oh. Our guest, our call-in guest is not here
yes.
visually in the studio.
Call-in
guest. I guess he can hear us. Hello, Malcolm. How are you? You're not on the air, but we just wanted to say hi because we know you're there.
Yes.
Let's see. Okay, that's
well,
pretty much that segment of Ask
let's
Mr.
Give
Comedy.
Out, let's give out the number one more time.
One more time.
We're
going to
take some questions.
Let's give out
Malcolm.
That toll-free number one more time, if you will, Cash.
888-422-5537. And just remember, it's not 800, but 888-422-5537.
A few weeks ago on my good friend Mr. Ed Sullivan's show out of Hollywood in color, I did a story of a shrimpy little guy, a little runt of a fella, skinny little thing, couldn't weigh more than 90 pounds soaking wet. Walked into a lumber camp, sought out the head lumberjack looking for a job. The lumberjack says, get out of here. I eat more for breakfast than you weigh. Please, he says, go away. The axe weighs more than you do. But he continued to plead with him. Finally, the lumberjack says, okay, I'm going to give you a chance at it. Here's an axe. Cut down that 6-inch stripling. He stepped up to it flat. Well, he says, that's not bad. Now, there's a 100-year-old oak. Cut it down. Believe it or not, a half a minute flat. Lumberjack says, that's fantastic. Where did you learn it? He says, in the Sahara Forest. Sahara Forest? You mean the Sahara Desert? He says, sure, now.
I love that track.
There were a lot of squirrels in the trees then.
Yeah, you know, that's Myron Cohen. And, of course, those were the days before people were really environmentally sensitive. Now today, of course, you know, with the rainforest and the problems, nobody would ever do a joke like that.
Why did we just do that?
Because I liked it.
Oh,
it's
okay,
from the past. You know, right. You bring it back. Hey, why did Spielberg do pictures about dinosaurs?
Well, that's a good question.
That's right.
That's a good question.
Maybe Malcolm will have the answer.
Because Siskel and Ebert gave it 2 thumbs down.
No kidding.
No kidding.
What did they know?
What do they know? 2 thumbs down.
Well, actually, for the plot.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's what they say. Great.
Spielberg's listening right now. I don't want to give him any comments.
I'm sure he's really upset about it. Really upset.
But the purpose of that bit, and like all our bits that we do, is to show what motivation is all about. And in this particular situation, here's this little wispy guy, and all his life, all he wanted to be was a lumberjack. And he's done it. And even though he didn't look the part, he just went for it. He just kept going and going and going. And then finally he got the opportunity to prove it to the world. And the lumberjack, the head lumberjack said, hey, you're hired.
And he did it with humor.
That's right. He didn't have to break into a chorus of, I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. We're going to play that too.
Yeah, we'll do that later. I was going to finish the song. We should have done that. We should have done an improv song.
Well, we can do it next time.
We'll do that next time.
So,
well. We've got a guest on the phone. Let's talk about our guest today. In fact, I'm just going to click him in right now. Malcolm Kushner, who has done a lot of presentations. Basically, he is America's America's favorite humor consultant. He's an internationally acclaimed expert on humor and communication. He has trained literally thousands of managers, executives, and professionals how to gain a competitive edge with humor. That word keeps coming up with humor. I mean, it's like there's something to it. He's the author of the Light Touch, How to Use Humor for Business Success, and it was praised for its practical approach, translated into 5 languages, not including Pig Latin.
Not including Pig Latin. Well, tonight we're going to translate it into Pig Latin.
He's also an attorney. We would like to welcome as our guest today, talking about going for your dreams, Mr. Malcolm Kushner.
Yay!
Hey, Malcolm.
Hi, Malcolm.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I just want to know, if a tree fell in the forest and nobody laughed, was Myron Cohen still telling a joke?
That's a good one. We'll have to get into the
That's something to ponder.
Welcome aboard.
My pondering days are over.
Yep, we're not going to think about that any longer. Malcolm, welcome to the show.
Oh, good evening.
Where are you calling from?
Santa Cruz, so just up the coast from you, but of course a different time zone. We're still in the 60s.
Yeah. Well, you're not exactly. I think you've given me a copy of your. Is this your homepage you've sent us? It looks like right off the internet.
Well, he's here in the 90s, but he's saying that it's 60 degrees up in Santa Cruz.
Daylight savings. We pushed the clock forward a year. It's 1964, I think.
It's a good area up there. That's not where Clint Eastwood's the mayor, is it?
That's a little further south, Carmel. We're about an hour north, 40 miles north. We're 75 miles south of San Francisco, 40 miles north of Carmel, Monterey.
God's country.
Very nice.
God's country.
So, Malcolm, what did you want to be when you were growing up?
A humor consultant.
And he succeeded. Yeah, he certainly pulled that together.
Yeah, well, now he has to prove it. So, there we were. So, now, what were you doing?
I'll tell you the truth.
Tell us the truth.
I'm a UEO, and there's a lot of people like me. You know what that is?
No, what's a UEO?
Unidentified Educated Object.
Mm.
Now talk to any liberal arts major knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, that about sums us both up.
Well, he's an attorney. That ought to say something right there. Well,
I haven't practiced in 15 years, so I said, let me plug the current book. So, like, buy my book, Successful Presentations for Dummies. It's one of those dummies books, where I'll go back to practicing law.
No. Yeah, we don't need more lawyers. We don't need more lawyers. We're talking about going for our dreams tonight, right, Malcolm?
Oh, absolutely.
So now tell us, Malcolm. So now you went to school. And when did you decide? I mean, you're a lawyer. You're a successful lawyer. Is that your first job out of college? Did you go through law school right from college?
No, actually, I did all my dream jobs right after college. I drove a cab in New York, and I worked in the post office in New Jersey. Then I went to grad school in L.A. at USC.
Now, that must have been culture shock for you.
Oh, putting it mildly, it was, you know, it's like walking into, like, a living Spiegel catalog or something.
Now, did you have any unusual circumstances or conditions that happened while you were stories that you want to share with us about driving a cab in L.A.? I mean, in New York?
Yeah, well, in fact, actually, when you say driving a cab in L.A., that's why I got a master's degree at USC, and I was teaching freshman speech, which, well, actually, that's kind of funny itself. Because I've been out here over 20 years. You can still hear my accent. So I come from New York to teach native Californians at USC freshman speech with this accent, you know? Hey, talk like this or you flunk! I had the football team. They couldn't talk anyway. It didn't matter. Hey, 76 Rose Bowl, halftime. They were interviewing him. What's your major? Speech. Those were mine. I was proud of them. Before me, they weren't even oral. But, you know, I was going to stay for a PhD. I have a paper on microfiche all over the country about a philosophical inconsistency I discovered in language behavior theory. But I thought, hey, the people ahead of me getting their PhDs in speech from USC were driving cabs in L.A. And I thought, why?
And they were making more money.
Well, I was thinking, why step down the profession? I already drove a cab in New York. Why drive one in L.A.? It's kind of like lower on the cab rung.
That's right. And actually, you have to speak a foreign language to drive a cab here.
Oh, yeah.
English is not the main language here in the cab, and I can't figure out what it is. So anyway, so there you were. You were driving a cab now in L.A., teaching speech to
Mongoloids. Didn't drive a cab in L.A. But, yeah, so it's like, what am I going to do next? I didn't know, like every liberal arts writer. So, hey, I'll go to law school, move to San Francisco. It'll kill 3 years. I'll figure it out later. So I never wanted to be an attorney. My best friend was an attorney. My cousin was an attorney. I didn't want to take Latin lessons, but I figured you pick up enough of it, you know, ipso facto, blah, blah, blah. Go to law school, kill 3 years.
Either that or you could have become a priest.
Except that I'm Jewish. But,
Shalom.
Interesting.
Although
concept,
on that, my wife is Catholic, and people say, what are you raising the kid? I said, easy, guilty, but that's a different
mothers do that, don't they?
Well, I still didn't know what I wanted to do after law school, but I did well, and, you know, my father said, oh, you know, everybody gets that right. Oh, you got to try. You know, so I worked at, like, the third largest law firm in San Francisco, and I hated it. Then I became a humor consultant. That's what I've done the last 15 years.
Oy vey, Malcolm. So tell us about this humor bit. Why the humor?
Well, it just seemed like a natural career evolution. Oh, the part I left out is when I was in L.A. at USC, I was on the Gong Show the third week it was on the air.
Oh, I love that show.
Gong Show.
I love it.
Before anyone ever heard of it, before Carson started talking about it, do you remember the world's only plant act instead of an animal act? That was me.
No way.
Oh, I had a fern that jumped through a hoop, shot a plant out of a cannon, sawed a plant in half, came in second.
You came in second?
Well, an old lady from Santa Monica imitating Sophie Tucker won, but you could never beat old people on the Gong Show.
Either that or child or juggler.
She got the audience to sing along. You know, you can't beat that.
You remember the song?
Oh, yeah.
But, I lost to a juggler.
So a natural career. What do? You're an attorney. You hate it. Your background's in communication. You've been on the Gong Show. You become a humor consultant. It seemed really obvious.
Yeah. How many people do you run around that you see out there that are doing this, the same type of thing with humor?
Well, now a lot more. They're crawling out of the woodwork. It's
really
becoming competitive. I may have to evolve a new profession. When I started, I kind of liked it. I'm going, like, there was hardly anybody doing it. There were a lot of people doing humor and health stuff. I mean, now there's a lot more. But, you know, Norman Cousins was doing his whole thing that, you know, he laughed himself well. He had some fatal illness. And there were a few people starting to talk about humor and health. And I'm thinking, hey, business, if humor can cure cancer or whatever he said he had, it should improve sales. So I kind of, like, went out on that little thing. And not now. I used to say as a humor consultant, nobody knew what I was talking about. Now half the people go, oh, it's like becoming a recognized profession. That's when you know it's time to change.
Well, actually, I'm a humor consultant too, and I'm not ready to change.
Yeah.
Just your underwear.
Daily.
Occasionally.
Daily, sometimes two or three, depending on
what I know.
And when Kathy comes up, I might have to change again. But
okay, fine.
But that's enough of the shtick. Your listeners want some practical advice.
Exactly,
that's correct.
How to use humor. Okay, if I other point tonight, my big distinction is we're not talking about jokes. We're not talking about being funny or hysterical. In a business context, your goal is to communicate the fact that you have a sense of humor, not that you're hysterically funny. And that's where people go, I can't tell a joke, I'm not funny, I'm not a comedian. Doesn't matter. Think of people you like. You like people who have a sense of humor. And think of people who you perceive to not have a sense of humor. You avoid them. You don't want to be around them. You go out of your way to stay away from them. So that's and communicating a sense of humor can be as simple as laughing at someone else's joke, but it's something you radiate. Now, now you get into a thing like, okay, how do you do it? Now, if you can tell it, if you can tell a joke, great. Use jokes to make business points. Just don't tell irrelevant stuff and off-color stuff and offensive stuff. Tie it to a point. And most people will say, well, I can't tell a joke. Doesn't matter. There's simple things anybody can do. Funny quotes, personal stories. Everybody has great personal anecdotes you've been telling for years. Just tie them to a business point. Simple analogies. There's lots of techniques that don't require any comic delivery. They're short. They're amusing. No, they're not going to get you on The Tonight Show, but that's not your goal. They're going to show you have a sense of humor and make people want to deal with you.
I've got a problem that I run across a lot of people. Either you can tell a joke or you can't tell a joke, and that's pretty much true.
Yeah,
I think. And it's kind of in a way. And it's like, I'm bad at even remembering jokes. I'll hear a joke and I think, oh, this is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. And then I go to remember the next day and I say, you know, there's some funny joke I heard yesterday. I can't remember what it was, though. Is that like a memory problem?
Well, there's a demographic thing there, too. It's like boomers being the perpetual largest segment of the population are hitting the age where memory is going to become more and more of a problem.
We're going to do a memory show.
We're going to do a memory
Harry
show.
Lorraine and,
that's right.
And another guy, too, as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you're sitting there trying to remember jokes, you know, time's working against you. But there's like simple there's simple techniques to use. It's like
pen and a piece of paper.
Your shirt sleeve, your hand, your notes. You know, why do you have to remember it?
Right. 1-888-422-5537 is our number. 888-422-5537. We have Malcolm Kushner on the phone talking about the humor experience in relation to comedy. If you've got a question you want to ask him, you've got the number.
Now's the time to call.
Now's the time to call. Okay.
All right, so Malcolm, why don't we talk about like the very first time? So now you made your mind up that you wanted to be a humor consultant. What did you do? How'd you go about doing it?
Well, actually, the way it started was ghostwriting jokes for like business people, you know, because I was a downtown San Francisco financial district lawyer. I knew a lot of business types. And,
right.
You know, so I think I went to somebody at the old phone company, this was before the bell breakup, and said,
right.
To a PR guy, I said, hey, you know, your people give all these speeches, you know, give me a list of the points they make, let me try. It was kind of like a volunteer thing to get the reference, and wrote a page of one-liners. They loved them. They distributed them, I guess, all over the state for these people to use, and then the guy was a reference, and then
right.
I was like, hey, the phone, because I'd go to people and go, what are you, humor? What are you, nuts? We're too conservative. I go, what, more conservative than the phone company? And, you know, that got their attention.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like any other kind of, you know, professional or service business. You know, you start small and build it up and reference and word of mouth, and then over the years it just built up.
Now, do you remember your first joke?
I remember one. They liked
yes.
it. I don't know if they ever used it, but
yes.
we were trying to address, and this is another thing anybody can use, is where they give the big pitch for the phone company point of view on whatever it is in these public meetings, community meetings, and then they have to take questions and answers. And you can be brilliant. They can love you. And then you have one person who's waiting for you, you know, to rip them down, and the audience will identify with that person. So you get the phone company representative. You know, they have like $1 billion worth of, like, speeches, you know, to psychologically perfect. It's great. Everyone's cheering. We love the phone company. Questions. Yeah, you know, you made $1 billion last year. Why are long distance rates going up? Now all of a sudden everyone's going, yeah, why? I mean, they loved you a second ago, but they'll identify with the one person that's mad at you.
Right.
So they knew they'd get this question. So after me, they'd say, well, I've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is you're absolutely right, sir. The long distance rates are going up. Always good to agree with the person. The
yes.
good news is the continents are drifting closer together.
Nothing we can do about that.
Again, it's not hilarious, but you see, it puts the audience in neutral, and then they would follow it up with a serious response going into, like, their rates and the PUC and their expenses, and maybe people would accept their answer, and maybe they wouldn't. The point is, if they hadn't given the funny answer first to put people in neutral,
right.
and they'd gone right into their prepared answer,
right.
nobody would have heard half of it, because they would be too emotionally worked up. They're so mad when they ask the question. So if it didn't convince them, you wouldn't know if you needed a better answer, or it's just that they didn't hear half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody can do that. I mean, in your personal life or your business life, if you know you're going to get a question over and over again, it's worth preparing. Tommy Toon, right? Everybody knows Broadway star, dancer, director, choreographer.
Sure, sure.
He's about what? He's like 6 feet, eight inches tall.
Almost
like
7 feet. He just did Grease. And,
right. And the first question he gets from interviews is how tall is he? He's kind of sick of it. And he has a stock answer. He just like sets the tone for the interview. He goes, oh, I'm 5 feet, 18 and a half inches tall. He knows he's going to get that. It probably took him a while to think of it, but he uses it every time. If you have some situation where you're going to get this awkward or embarrassing question over and over, it's worth putting in some time to develop an answer because you're going to use it the rest of your life.
Right. You think like Bob Hope with his nose.
Yeah. Malcolm, I like what you said a moment ago about, it doesn't have to be a knee slapper joke, funny, but just have some fun.
Oh, absolutely.
Play, have fun.
Keep the goal in mind. Your goal is to show you have a sense of humor. Not, unless you're a professional comedian, your goal isn't to be hysterically funny. If you're a doctor, a nurse, a lawyer, whatever you are, you want to calm people down and create rapport, but you don't want to be hysterically funny. I don't want my doctor cracking jokes. I want him to operate, but I would like him to have a sense of humor.
That's yeah. Right. Our number is 888-422-5537. That's 888-422-5537. And we've got, can I just push this button? It's not going to disconnect him, is it? No, okay.
Blow up New Jersey.
I hope not. I could blow up L.A.
As long as we don't blow up L.A.
Exactly, right. We've got Joe in Long Beach who owns a taco business down there, and he wants to know how to get employees to like him. Have you got a problem with this, Joe?
You have a question for Malcolm?
I really have a problem with it. It's very busy, and I'm always trying to keep my employees busy, but they just don't seem to like me. And I was wondering what I could do.
Malcolm?
Malcolm, what can we do?
I know what he could do.
Now, wait,
give them all a raise.
I need more information here. I mean, do you have any clue why they don't like you?
Well, I think I just push them too hard.
You don't use... Are you funny at all, Joe?
No, not really.
Are you pretty...
There's simple things you can do that have nothing to do with humor. Give them a raise. They'll love you.
Well, I don't want to go too far.
I didn't even know the facts when I told them that.
That always works.
Well, I tried doing that, but unfortunately, it wasn't enough money. They were making $1.30, and I just get, $1.40, and they just... still don't like me.
Very generous man there, Joe.
$1.40. Call this man into the labor
That's department. Right. We're going to report him. We're going to have his line traced. Seriously, Joe. No, so you got this problem. Anyway.
So, Malcolm, could you give Joe one
Malcolm,
funny
help
thing?
Me.
Hey, now listen, this guy sounds pretty deadbeat. Can we make him funny at all? Can we make
I
him
doubt it. Well, with a motivational comedy network.
We can do it.
I believe.
I can help.
Yes. I can help.
A humor makeover. A mirth makeover.
That's right.
Well, here...
You have to come down and meet Kathy at the studio. I think that might shake you up a little bit.
Let's be realistic. Now, one thing you could do is perhaps have some sign or a card or something you put, a sign up on the wall that'll say address this thing. Like when when you can see they're reacting to you that you've pushed them too hard. Like you point to the sign or something like that. It would address it. We'd have to think of what it would say or something.
Laugh.
Take out a card and hand to
how about
the fact that you don't understand me doesn't mean that I, there's a bunch of stock things you could do that at least that kind of takes the sting out of it.
The other thing you could do is read Malcolm's new book. I think that's what would be a good thing.
I was thinking that.
The Humor Advantage.
Well, how about can I get a free copy?
Oh, right, Joe. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
See, that's the problem, Joe. You want everything for nothing. You're not willing to put anything up. Thanks a lot, Joe. How do I hang up
just
on this
drop.
Guy?
Just hit drop.
Bye-bye.
But that won't drop him?
No,
it
won't
drop
him.
Just drop.
Okay. All right.
Well, the
cool.
other thing I wanted to point out, right. Did Joe leave already? The thing is,
he's listening, so you can talk to him.
I mean, it's a taco place. There could be like something in the atmosphere that's causing everyone to...
Something in the sauce.
Well, the one thing that I would recommend is he put in a comedy show, and the number again to call is 888-4-CALLER or call the comedy show hotline at 310-572-6373. Joe, we'll put on a comedy show. We'll entertain your employees because that's what I do. I come in and bring out the best in people with comedy. And, Joe, I'm sure I could teach you a thing or two.
Another suggestion for Joe, of course, is buy Successful Presentations for Dummies and read the 4 chapters on how to use humor in it.
That's a great idea. Hey, by the way, how am I getting a free copy of this book?
Oh, call up IDG.
I'm talking to you. What do you mean, call someone up?
Why are you giving us the runaround here, Malcolm? I mean, it's like
I'm not the publisher. You think they give me free books?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Don't you have like a closet full of this stuff that they give you to give away to promote it?
Yeah, I wish. They gave me a table with short legs and said, buy some of your own book and prop up the table.
I feel so sorry for you.
Let's get him a better publisher. All right, we're here in L.A. We're looking for, you probably got commitments. You probably got a 20-book deal with those guys, right?
Oh, absolutely.
20-book deal.
And then movies to boot.
That's lucrative.
You see, you're in the wrong city.
Yeah, they're going to print up 20 of those books.
So how's the book doing?
Oh, good. It's come out in Korean, and they just sold the German rights. So there you go. That's funny. Tell Joe he should get the Korean version. Like, just read stuff randomly out of it. That would get big.
Now, how does the humor translate into a foreign language?
I think that's always dangerous. It's tough. It's not so much the language, it's the culture, right? Humor is based on your values. What could be hilarious to you is, like, deadly to someone else. So that's, unless you know the culture.
Well, that works here in America, too, even without a foreign language.
Right.
I think we have another call for you.
We do, at 888-422-5537. On the line right now, we're talking with a doctor White in West L.A., and he wants to talk about the importance of making patients feel at ease.
You're on the air with the Motivational Comedy Network and Malcolm Kushner.
Hi.
Oh, it's a woman.
Hi.
Now, why did I think it was a guy?
How are you doing?
I don't know. It's a doctor. See, very chauvinistic.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you there because I have the radio on.
All right.
That's okay.
Yeah,
you need to turn that down because I don't know why. I don't hear
we're
any feedback.
We're getting enough echo as it is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was just hearing you talk about making that comment about, you know, you don't want your doctor to be hysterical, right?
Well, except my wife. She's a pediatrician, but that's the match. She's a pediatrician and I'm a big baby.
Well, that's great. I'm an urologist.
A what?
But, I always feel it's really important to put my patients at ease.
Well, yeah. What kind of urologist?
A urologist?
A neurologist.
Oh, a urologist. A neurologist.
I figure a urologist, you know, it must be hard for a woman to have a man at ease when you're trying to find out.
That is difficult.
Are there many women urologists for men?
Very few women in that field.
I'd like to get an address, please.
Okay, go ahead, Dr. White.
Okay, Dr. White.
Anyway, yeah, that is always difficult, you know, putting men at ease in that situation.
Okay,
so now,
how do we get to, how can we
help you?
That's it can't help me at all. I'm just commenting on it, that it's very important to have patients be at ease.
Oh. Now, let me ask you something. Do you use humor in your bedside manner?
I try to use the best of humor in my bedside manner.
Okay. And how do you, I mean, when you're dealing with people with neuropsychology problems, and I guess that must be more serious than, let's just say, a pediatrician somebody would come in where the baby's got a runny nose, at least
or wets the bed or something, you know.
And so how do I use that?
Yeah, how do you
humor?
Use humor?
Because you have to laugh at things, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You have to see the humor in things. Mm-hmm. For example, I was telling a friend the other day who was schizophrenic, a patient of mine.
Yes.
That, in fact, this is not something that should be stigmatized, but instead, you're a saint. Right?
I don't know. I
now
wasn't
why
there.
Is that? Why is
wasn't
that? You hear
wasn't.
Voices.
I'll
you hear God talking to you. It's like Moses.
Yeah.
Right? Moses. Well, there's a difference.
Joan of Arc. Heard God telling her to do what she did.
Yeah.
So, you see, you can just turn it around.
Well, Malcolm, thanks for helping another one of our listeners.
Another listener helped out by the great Malcolm Kushner. And Dr. White, we appreciate you listening to the show.
As a matter of fact, Dr. White, we would like to give you some tickets to the Ice House so you could take five of your patients with you. Or your passengers.
And help them feel more at ease.
The Ice House? I don't know how they feel about that.
Well, we'll see. It actually sounds cold, but it's not.
It's not. It's
very
hot.
Warm.
It's hot.
Anyway, Dr. White, thank you so much for calling.
Not a problem.
Bye-bye, Dr. White.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. You know,
if she brings her schizophrenic patient, shouldn't you give her twice the amount of tickets?
Yeah.
Well, six tickets is enough for anyone.
We'll fill up the hall. You had a friend yesterday, Akasha, Phil Tortellini, I believe it was, said go to work and ready to play and have fun.
Phil Sorrentino.
Oh, Tortellini, Sorrentino, it's all the same.
You know, hey, it's all the same, right? You know, hey, that's a nice, that's a nice guy.
The guy, is he still around? From Ohio, right?
Yeah, Phil Sorrentino from Ohio. He has a company called Humor Consultants, and he's going to be a guest on the show as well. So that's another thing that we could all listen into. So, Malcolm, we're running short on a little bit of time here. So, in closing, how would you recommend to help our listeners?
Don't be cheap with your sense of humor. Spread it around. It comes back to your benefit. You have to be mutually supportive. Laugh at other people's stuff. It's kind of like Yogi Berra once said.
Yogi Berra or Yogi Berra?
Absolutely, Yogi Berra.
You know, that's
you should go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't go to yours.
Let's hear that boo boo again.
I'm better than the average bear.
Boo boo.
That's Yogi Berra. The nice guys never
come. Yogi Berra. You know, Yogi Berra. What were some of the things that Yogi Berra used to say, Malcolm?
Well, that's my favorite, about mutual support. You should go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't go to yours.
Okay, I'll make sure I get on that list. Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yeah, the older you get, the more funerals you seem to attend. Isn't that the funniest thing?
You know, before we get
I just went to Boo Boo's the other day.
Oh, Boo Boo.
Boo Boo, Boo Boo.
Malcolm.
How about Mr. Ed? Wilmer! Of course Carol thinks you're weird. You're always out in the barn with me.
That was my introduction to Californians when I lived in New York.
Malcolm, let me ask you something. How do you deal with rejection?
This guy needs serious psychiatric help.
Get back Dr. White on the phone.
Get back Dr. White. Dr. White, can you help Mr. Kushner here?
Dr. Kushner.
The
doctor? No.
Is a doctor? Are you a doctor? Are you a doctor? You're not a doctor.
You're technically all lawyers.
Just a lawyer.
I have a juris doctorate. Lawyers are the only profession that don't use the doctor title, even though we have doctorates.
That's a good
there's
thing.
A reason.
It's a very
for that.
Good thing for that. Very good.
There's definitely a reason for that.
You know, our topic tonight was going for your dreams. Did we cover that well?
I think it's going to be an ongoing event with us, Jay.
Yeah, it is.
And Malcolm's goals and dreams. Yeah. So, Malcolm, what is it you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah. What are your goals and dreams?
Well, my goal this year was to stop thinking about writing a novel and start talking about it.
Get rid of the procrastination.
Dr. Bruce Goldberg, let me give you his number.
It's a 1-800 karma for you.
You know what you need? You need a new Ford. That's what you need, man. If you can get behind the wheel of that Cobra, man.
Oh, that is a great car.
That was hot, man. Yes. That was a hot car, that white car. Anyway,
if Jeff Dr. White doesn't knock you in the head with his stick. Okay.
So anyway.
I would like all your listeners, if you need any jokes, check out my website. There's tons of them. KushnerGroup.com. It got a 2-page write-up in a Japanese web magazine in December. But I want my fellow Americans to use it.
And you know what? If you can't remember that, you could just write to MrComedy@AOL.com, and I have a link to you already.
Oh.
You are linked to me. Am
That's
I linked?
The missing link.
Am I linked?
Are you?
I better be linked to your page, otherwise we're cutting you off right now.
Exactly.
Malcolm, you've been wonderful, man. I really appreciate the call. Our listeners in L.A. appreciate the call. Again, give the name of your book.
Successful Presentations for Dummies. It's one of those dummies books that you see everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, very good. Listen, I want you to call your publisher and tell them to send Jay and I a copy.
Yep.
Even though we're not dummies, we probably can learn from a book like that.
Exactly.
Anything you want to say in closing to our audience?
Good night.
Oh, do you have an 800 number?
No.
Then you're basically a nobody.
But you can reach me through email.
Email. Everybody's got email. It's the 800 number we're interested in. We want to call at no charge. That's what we're trying to do.
Malcolm, thanks so much for calling, man. We really appreciate it. And why don't you give out your phone number in case somebody wants to reach you by the old-fashioned way.
408-425-4839.
Okay. Well, repeat it one more time.
The old-fashioned way by paying for it.
408.
What, no 800 number?
408-425-4839.
All right. Well, hey, at least he's got a sense of humor. Malcolm, God bless you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, Malcolm.
Bye-bye.
Okay, goodbye.
All right.
What a guy. Anyway, that's so much of it. But going for your dreams is something we're going to continue to talk about over the next few weeks because if you don't, you know, I decided to go for my dreams a few years ago, and it's like I might wind up as a bum of the Bowery, but I'm going to be a happy bum.
I'll be right there with you.
Speaking of bums, I mean, I hate to use the word bum, but I was in Glendale today.
You were?
I was walking across Brand Street.
Right.
And I got flipped off by a bum pushing a cart, and I don't know why I did that.
Unbelievable.
And this is true.
Did it have anything to do with the fact that you cut him off?
Well, maybe.
I mean, maybe that was his corner, you know?
I mean, it could have been.
I mean, did he have like a
cup
out?
It was, well.
Was that the bum with the dog in the car?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I saw that guy.
Yeah. It's like, I don't say bum, he may be smarter than I am.
Well, he might have been Howard Hughes.
You never know.
You never know who it could be.
What if you had picked up Howard Hughes that night? You saw that movie, didn't you?
That's why I pick up hitchhikers.
I always pick every one of them.
Just in
every one of them.
Just in hopes that one day I'm going to get that lucky to pick up Howard Hughes, man. Well, I tell you, this is the most exciting thing that's happened to us, is this show. I just love it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Malcolm Kushner.
No, are you kidding? He's going with the host.
You know. Good riddance. Okay.
Hey, Malcolm did a good job.
He did. He was very, very, very fine. Very, very fine. Let me talk about your motivational comedy experience.
I'd love to do that.
Can we do that?
Yeah, I definitely would love to.
Let me say this, that the cash goes around to the corporations, kind of like an Anthony Robbins, but he's like an Anthony Robbins with humor.
So much so,
yeah. And he goes around, and you can do anything from in your sales meetings. Like I've been in sales meetings before, where it'd be real estate, electronics, anything along that line. And you know, you bring him in for a 15 or 30 minute. Try that as you know, like a 15 or 30 minute kind of pickup. He has a couple of topics like you can make it happen in the morning experience, or you could have an afternoon affirmation and acting experience. Afternoon affirmations in action experience.
There you go. Now we know what we're talking about.
So you got a 15 or 30 minute deal where you come in, and what are you going to tell them in 15 or 30 minutes that's going to make their day worthwhile?
I'm not going to tell them on the air. They're going to have to pay for that.
Okay.
Are you kidding?
Give me an idea. Can you give me an idea?
One hint. One of the subjects I do is how to get through to anybody. And that's because today in the phone world, we are all living on the phone. And sometimes it's a little more difficult to get through to somebody. And I use humor to help break down the barriers and get through to the people that you want to talk to. And it's it's very, very exciting presentation. Another thing that I do is I do how to make your driving time more productive without killing yourself. And that is something that being in L.A., where you go from place to place all the time, we're living in our cars, I teach you how to avoid the stress and pratfalls of driving around and making it to your destination alive. That's another thing that I do. And, of course, I talk about belief in yourself. And that, of course, is the most famous one. That's the one people give me a round of applause. I talk about it all the time. It's something that I believe in myself, and it's something that I can share with everybody else. The other thing that I talk about is a no is a yes in disguise. And one of the things about, no was the very first learn that I learned, Joe. Joe.
I'm Jay.
I've only been with you
Hi,
for Jay my
Taylor.
Best friend. Yeah. I can't even remember your name. There we go.
It happens to me a lot.
Check once more time.
You're giving me a bad self-image. I can't stand it.
I love you, buddy. I love you, buddy.
Go ahead.
So anyway, as I was saying, no is the very first word that I learned. I just got a no from you, but I love you still.
I love you, Joe.
And I was taught that by my mother.
Yeah.
And, of course, the way she said it was a little bit more, strange. And now whenever I'm on a date, I hear the word no all the time, and I love it.
It's so good,
man.
It's something you get used to.
It makes me feel right at home. No. Oh.
Get cash into your sales meeting. Add a little spice to your usual boring presentation that you normally do.
Yeah, spice it up, man.
Spice it up at 310-391-1365. That's 310-391-1365. Well, we've got the lovely screener in here today, Anna.
Anna,
we got, who was last night?
Pam. Well, that was because she was doing that audition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I couldn't
get
you.
And got the part. That is so great.
I don't have it yet.
Well, you do now.
I do now.
For radio.
See, that's what I, yeah.
Think positively about that.
I have been.
So we had fun today.
Yes, we did. And, I think that same bum guy was in Burbank today. Because
I think that bum gets along.
I think he gets around.
He got in his Mercedes and limoed and went over to Burbank.
Exactly, because he flipped me off, too.
He's got a phenomenal orange and peanut business.
So, anyway, well, let's talk about next week.
Let's talk about next week.
I can't say his name, so you're going to have to say it.
Well, now you got me confused. We're fumbling on names. It's amazing. But the band's name is Mario Magliari.
I've heard of him before. He's a pretty rich guy.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, rich. I wish I had a penny for every penny he had. I'd be rich, too.
He's the owner of the Rainbow Room?
The Rainbow Bar and Grill.
Okay.
And he owns the Whiskey A Go-Go, the most famous of them all.
On the strip, right down there.
Matter of fact, I believe he owns most of the strip.
We should go down there for a beer after the show.
Well, he's not that generous. That's why he's so rich.
Well, we could pay
But
for
I got to tell you something. He is definitely one of the most wealthiest people that I have ever met. And you could never tell. His first job was working for Al Capone. A long, long, long time ago. I don't know if he wants to get into that on the radio. And I hope I'm still alive. But this was really long. Mario's about in his 70s, and yet he's just an amazing man. He's gone through so much, and he owns so much, and he's so wealthy, and he's so giving. Yet you can go to his restaurant. You go to his restaurant, and you could find him either waiting on tables or cleaning up. Busboy.
Why does he do that? He can afford to do it.
Because he loves to do that. In the morning he goes down to the mart to pick up his produce because he loves going into the mart to pick up. And you can learn so much, and we're going to learn a lot about life from Mario.
I can picture him as the guy in Happy Days. Who was the guy in the cook in the bar and grill?
Al.
Is he kind of like an Al character?
Oh, he's friendly. He's
friendly and lovely. Yeah.
Oh man, he's one.
And rich.
Now
he's very, very rich.
He's put together so many deals, and we're going to talk about that next week. So what's up for you this week?
Let's see. I'm just going to stay motivated. I'm just going to continue to listen to my motivational tapes. I'm going to continue to stay positive, and I'm going to continue to keep reaching out.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm very happy. Very happy.
I'm going to do the same thing. I'm doing the same thing. I'm actually teaching this week.
Oh.
I'm teaching for the Improv Comedy Traffic School. I'm going to be in Marina Del Rey this week. I'm doing a class on Saturday.
Yeah, it's so funny. You get standing reviews every time.
Every time.
Every time.
People love me. People just love me to death. People have said, don't quit your night job. It's a very impressive thing.
So you actually learn more in that type of climate or in that type of environment than you may be one of these $20 schools that where they're very boring and, well, here we got to don't turn left on a red light and stuff like that.
Well, it's not as good as a topless traffic. School.
Oh, but now that's what
that's
I would be.
That's my show.
Oh, really? That's your show. Yeah, hey, topless traffic. All right.
Where
yeah.
do you find these screeners, Kathy?
hey, Kathy never showed up. You know?
Who's Kathy?
We're going to do a show.
Kathy was the girl that called
my memory is going.
On the memory.
My memory.
We're
going to
do
no
a memory,
memory.
Show.
She was a very nice lady, by the way.
Very,
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 shy.
Very nice yeah. show. Very, very nice lady on the phone. I'm sorry that she didn't show up, but maybe she'll show up after we get off the air. And then
yeah.
I'll give you a full report next week.
Well, I think she wanted to meet both of you. She said your voice was very sexy.
Oh, the Kathy from the... Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I know who we're talking
about. Yeah, Jay, will you be here tonight?
Yeah, I remember. She was going to come down here because she wanted
to meet some friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, show up.
She might be on her way. Maybe she's stuck in that L.A. traffic.
They never show. That's just a problem.
You know, I can't believe it. Well, that's not true. You know, I remember the last time I was lucky. I got lucky on a date, Jay. I was stood up.
Yeah. I can't remember what lucky means. Anyway. So we got a great show for you next week. It's been terrific this week. And we're going to stay on the track. And all I got to say is keep going for your dreams and keep laughing because it's going to keep you in shape.
Well, Jay Taylor, you're an amazing man. And you are in shape, man. You're in great shape. You're giggling your way to health.
Yes.
Well, my name is Cash Landy. And I want to thank you all for tuning in L.A. We love it here. And all I can tell you is this. Remember one thing. You make it happen. Have a great week. We'll see you next week, Thursday at 7 o'clock.
Opinions expressed on the preceding program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of the staff, management, or employees of Personal Achievement Radio.
AM 1230, KY.